This is Talking with the Gravy Train on Ski Tracks, the latest in Nordic ski talk and news. And now your host, Peter Graves.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Graves, and welcome to this edition of Talking with the Gravy Train on Ski Tracks. And today's special guest on the telephone with us is head coach of Cross Country Canada, Justin Wadsworth. And Justin, thank you very much for joining us. Glad to have you. And I gather there is still snow in Canmore. Is that right?
Yeah, they're still grooming at the Nordic Center, and I'm looking up at the mountains. It snowed a bunch last night. Luckily, not so much down here in town, but it's still in the minus degrees in the morning here, so it's winter's not letting go. I'm ready to see a change.
I bet you are, and me too. It seems like the winter that will never end. I'm glad to have you with us, and a number of things to discuss, but I suppose... Most importantly, I want to talk to you about Cross Country Canada, and the program has been in the news. You've been in the news a little bit in the last few weeks as well. Tell me where all of this stands, as I understand Cross Country Canada is getting ready to meet very soon on some of these topics. What can you tell us?
Yeah, you know, right now, Peter, there's no official news coming out of here. We've been working really hard and trying to tie things up. You know, everybody wants to start this next quadrennial soon. Everyone's, you know, kind of impatient, at least from the outside. And we, you know, the kind of changes we're making, we don't want to rush into them. It's a big cycle coming up if you look at the next 4 and 8 years. So we're just trying to make the right choices, trying to do them in a systematic way, and right now there's nothing official on any front. I mean, obviously, we're trying to improve our system, and we're trying to, you know, address some of the things that have been deficits for us, and address things like the development team and the development pipeline, things like that. So, you know, working in the whole system and having the right players doing the right things is really key to this, and we just can't be in a hurry to do it, and so it's taking a little bit longer than we had all hoped, but it is in the process.
And Justin, I want to very much respect the process, a process that all national teams have and do. You have, and I bring this up because you've been quoted publicly as saying there is a possibility that you may see your job change a little bit. Can you, is that correct? And if so, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, for sure my job is going to change, because I went to Cross Country Canada about a year ago, and I said, you know, the sustainability of my current job is not, it's not really there. Like, the traveling is just too much for me and my family. I was really happy with how, you know, the last 4 years have been and the commitment I could put into it. But, you know, for me to keep traveling over 180, 190 days a year just was not sustainable. So I told them that. They were very supportive of keeping me on board and trying to find a way where my role could change a little bit. And, we're just in the process of figuring the best way for that to happen.
Do you have any idea, Justin, of a timetable when news of what will happen will become public?
Yeah, I'd like to say by the end of this next week, the first week in May, that we should have something to roll out for everybody and start moving forward.
All right. Well, that sounds good, and we'll definitely follow up with another interview when things are known. I appreciate that. Justin, the Olympic Games. Let's talk about Sochi. In not all cases, it wasn't so easy for the Canadian team this year. As you look back at the Olympic Games and cross-country skiing for Canada, what do you see are important points we ought to look at?
Yeah, I mean, the Olympics are a very brief time period, and you need to get things right, and there's a lot of external factors that aren't normally there between, you know, pressures from outside and internal pressures and venues that maybe you haven't spent enough time at or haven't had access to. But I think overall for us, you know, I think physically the athletes were for the most part pretty prepared and ready, and we had some with our are real medal contenders, let's say, some issues with the ski selection, wax application process and testing. And you know, we did, our crew did a great job to rebound from that, and we did, you know, fix those problems. But unfortunately, it started us with some very bad momentum, which anyone who's been part of the games will tell you, if you start with bad momentum at the games, there is no momentum, and it's really hard to rebound from. And I'm really sure that that was a big factor for us. By the time we got kind of things tightened up and going into the second week of the games, and not to make excuses, but those were the things that happened, and we hadn't experienced that to that degree. The loop that we needed to have a bit tighter between, again, the athlete, the wax technician, and the skis and the ski selection. And I can go into more detail about that if you'd like, but that was kind of our key factor, and we missed a couple days where the skis were not that good, and that just kind of set the ball rolling, unfortunately.
Well, you had talked to Ski Tracks and other media outlets, and you were, I thought, quite candid about your disappointment at times there. One day going so far as to say this was the most disappointing day I've had as a Canadian head coach. So I thought you were very forthright about it. You certainly were not the only country to have wax difficulties. Sochi was, quite candidly, a very unique environment for the sport.
Yeah, it was. And again, you know, the access to testing up there was pretty limited, and we had times where we tested skis outside the Olympic Games, but we didn't have so much time where we could take all the athlete skis there to kind of test each pair and really go over what skis worked well with what wax combination. I think that's where we slipped up, and maybe the Norwegians did also. I mean, there was other teams that did struggle, but there were other teams that hit it on the head, and so you know, I can't say for everybody else, but I know for us, we did learn. We are tightening things up, and we proved that going in the last part of the season, where we had similar kind of tough conditions and clister kind of weather, and we had amazing skis for our guys in the World Cup final. So
yeah, for sure. And I want to talk.
You know, that's a little bit too late. Too little, too late.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a moment, but I don't want to let the Olympic Games escape for a second. Justin, as you look at it, and I'm not talking about any particular team here, but what did you see as perhaps one or two of the big surprises of this year's Sochi events up at the Laura cross-country venue?
Yeah, I think, the consistency of the Swedish team, and again, that's where a team gets momentum rolling, and maybe they have a little bit, you know, better skis than even the best other team skis. And so that was a bit of a surprise that team really powered through like they did. The other surprise, I guess, for me was some of the Finnish team performances.
They were back in a big way.
Yeah, Sami Juhajärvi and Ivo Niskanen. Those guys, especially Sami, I've never seen him race like that for the last two or three years. So they really stepped up to the plate there and had amazing results. So those, I guess, were the kind of the surprises. I thought the Swedes would have some shining spots for sure, but not team-wide like they did.
Yeah, one thing that really surprised me was Dario Colonia coming back to as strongly as he did after that injury off-season that really must have curtailed a lot of his training.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dario did an OPA Cup race in France, and the results were okay, but not that good. And then next time he showed up on a major race circuit was Toblach and had a great result there. And I mean, he pulled it all together just at the right time. But, you know, he's pretty focused, determined athlete. He was out there on his sit ski, you know, double pulling away and things like that. And I think those are things that maybe other athletes wouldn't have done to the extent that he did it. So, he's a pretty amazing and focused guy.
Yeah, and certainly one thing we know about the Norwegian women, it is not just Merit Bjørgen anymore.
Oh, no. They have even more coming now. I mean, their system right now, their women's team is on a real roll and led from the top. But it's depth is pretty amazing there between Heidi Wang and of course Johaug and Bjergen and the rest of them, the sprinters with Kala or Fala, so it's they're a strong group.
Give me a short form on a race day for you. What time are you up? What time does it wrap up? Just give me a couple of bullet points because I know they're long and grueling days.
Yeah, Sochi wasn't too bad because the races were afternoon races starting around 2 p.m. for the most part. And so it allowed us a little bit more time. Our team generally stayed on Central European time so they could sleep in a little bit. So instead of waking up at like 7 or 8, the athletes were waking up a little bit later and starting their whole process a little bit later. But for the technicians, of course, they're up there super early and the staff, we had enough staff that we felt, we had things prepared the day before. We had lots of time to know what was coming down the pipe. So the days weren't super early for us and I think, our whole machine in general, team machine, was running well and things were organized well. So there wasn't a lot of stress in that department. So they were long, long days with coaches' meetings after the races, 5 or 6 p.m. And then we had to brief our athletes for the next day. And, when you're racing so many times in a two-week period, it does kind of start to be Groundhog Day every day. You kind of go through the same procedures. With those late afternoon starts, it makes the mornings a little bit slower, which is actually, out of human nature, the kind of the easiest way to do things. You don't have to wake up and just step on the gas right away.
Yeah. Well, Justin, I want to ask you another Sochi question, and that is with the current issues that are happening in Ukraine and Crimea, of course, perhaps notwithstanding, what's your opinion on how the world will look at the Sochi Games? And I guess, I'm talking about in general, not just the Nordic world, but how will we view them?
I think people that will take the time and dig a little deeper than just, looking at the surface, will see the fact that a lot of things were done there that probably aren't a good example of the way to do things, just with the workers. And, we were there the years leading up to the games and the kind of the conditions we saw for the workers and how the construction was going up and the destruction of the valley, with the hillsides and everything was pretty disturbing. Of course, how the games looked on TV and came across to a lot of the world looked amazing and shiny and sunny and warm and all the stadiums looked good. So I think, most of the world just thought it was a great Olympic Games, but I really think there was some disturbing stuff underneath the surface that a lot of people, we'll say a lot about a lot of Olympic Games, but I think this Games in particular, there were a lot of things done that, if you look at the long-term impact of that valley, and you're going to see venues and hotels and things that aren't going to get used again, and really it's a kind of a waste and a shame.
Yeah. Okay, now I want to get back to the final third of the season here, where Alex and the team turned in some really exciting results, and a bit of a vindication, I think, from the Winter Olympic Games. Tell me how you saw that final half of the a third of the season go up to the World Cup finals.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great finish, and this is where I think our team really rallied. I think with the devastating results, and we were feeling all really beat down after the games. I mean, I can't even express every member of our team and all the athletes, but to rally and come back and fight again through even the first part of Holmenkollen with the skis on the first two laps for the men's race were again, kind of a tough ski selection process, but rallied through that, and especially Alex that day, persevered coming back from almost 50th place after two laps and getting the 14th place, which ended up probably being the difference that got him third overall in the World Cup. Had he not, had he given up after two laps or been out of the top 30 that day, he wouldn't have enough points to get top third in the overall World Cup. So I think that kind of set the tone then for the World Cup finals, because, you know, as a WAC staff and as athletes and everybody, we didn't give up, and we really wanted to continue to do the best we could and learn from our experiences. And I think that's the thing that people from the outside need to look at is, you know, just we had a bad Olympics, but, you know, that doesn't mean you just give up and everyone folds up their stuff and packs it in for good. I mean, if you can learn from those experiences and move forward, then, yeah, it's, you're not a strong team. But we proved that, you know, we could do that, and we did learn a lot. And then the World Cup finals were even better, and Devin had some good races too, where, you know, there were times where he was chasing the top three lead group. He was leading the chase group and skied some really solid races. And, of course, Alex's podiums there and proving that, you know, he should have been a player at certain times in the year, like the games and wrapping up third overall in the World Cup. And that was for us a really great way to end the year and I think a good way to start off this next year.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time with us, Justin, and to go on the record about some of these things and a timetable, a time frame, if you will, for what's happening. So wishing you all the best, and we'll talk soon when we have some more news. But thanks, Justin, so much for taking the time.
You're welcome, Peter. Thank you.
All right. This is Peter Graves. As always, we value your opinion. Let us know on our website at skitracks.com. And we'll be back soon with another edition of Talking with the Gravy Train.